This episode of The Buzz is brought to you by Bank Automation Summit US 2024. This annual event is tailored to resonate with financial services professionals focused on business optimization through technology and automation. Learn how to overcome implementation challenges by hearing firsthand from C-level executives from institutions including Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citi, and more. There's no better place to get a read on the competition than at Bank Automation Summit US 2024. Register now at bankautomationsummit.com. My name is Whitney McDonald, and I'm the editor of Bank Automation News. Today is March 4th, 2024. The Buzz welcomes Jo Wiper. She is the Executive Vice President and Head of Operations of Citizens Commercial Bank. She's been on the bank's commercial team since 2009. She is here to discuss her approach to new technology within the commercial business, including new technology launches, the bank's digital butler, and its payments and API efforts. Welcome to The Buzz, Jo.
Whitney, it's a real pleasure to be here. So I'm Jo Wiper. I'm Head of Operations and Digital at Citizens Bank for the Commercial and Business Banking Divisions. I've been in Citizens since 2009, and I currently lead all the operations, regardless, agnostic to product, whether it be business banking, treasury, commercial, lending, credits, global markets, etc. Yeah, I'm really privileged to have such a broad and varied team.
Great. Well, thank you again for joining us. Let's get into a little bit more about your role, your strategy within the commercial banking business. Let's talk through about some efforts that you've been doing within the digital channels there. Maybe talk us through your strategy there on how you're meeting client demand, what they're asking for on the digital front.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. It's actually, you know, one of my favorite topics in terms of how we bring the client into the center of what we do, but at the same time, we innovate around them. And our strategy here at Citizens Commercial has never been about replacing that relationship with a digital channel. And in fact, it's not. It's about fully complementing and adding options for our clients. We're very proud of our long-running relationships. You know, we've got decades-old relationships with some of these clients, and it's really fostered on trust. And we know who they are. We know where they are in their life cycle and what they need and what solutions that we can take to them. So our digital strategy and the approach that we've taken is about providing options and giving them new channels should they want to engage with us and self-serve like you would on some of those digital tools that we provide them, with that commitment behind it that says you will always have your dedicated human being. But in addition to that, you may want to bank with us 24 hours a day and you might want to do it yourself. So our strategy's always just been about complementing that real trusted advisor moniker that we've worked very hard to achieve.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense, right? Combining the human and digital experiences. Of course, there's demand for more digital capabilities, but still not eliminating that human touch. Mm-hmm. That takes us greatly into our next question here about new technology. It's hard to have any conversations right now without tapping into AI and generative AI. How do those new technologies fit into your strategy within the business?
Yeah, look, you know, like any new technology, we need to have a measured approach. And I do think that, you know, the way that ChatGPT and some of the generative AI that's exploded into the market has caught many people's imaginations for all the reasons that you're asking me the question today, right? It's exciting. It's that next step change. And that's providing more potential, more opportunities in the tech space, right? So it's incredibly exciting stuff. I think that we as Citizens can see the adoption of it in many cases, right? If you think about commercial in terms of being able to, right through the life cycle from a client perspective, it's sales enablement, the ability to really rapidly pull together data and understand a more sophisticated way of what they might need, right through the credit cycle, around how you package and how you generate information at speed, into the service arena where you can almost get into a place where you can anticipate that client's need and their next best advice and next best product, et cetera. So, you know, it's not without an abundance of use cases. I think the approach needs to be measured. I think you need to start with it in a comfortable sandbox, in a place where you probably want a human in the loop. You probably want to adopt the generative AI in a place that the human gets the final say. And once you become more comfortable with it, and once it's more embedded in our processes, then you can start using it for more direct interfaces into the digital channels with our clients. But yeah, I think, you know, we've been using AI for a while now. It's Citizens CFG. It's not a new thing. We've even had predictive AI. I think the ability to generate content from the ChatGPT and the ChatSmiths of the world just takes it to that next level. So hugely exciting, not as exciting as it would be if you hadn't already been deploying AI for the last best part of the last 5 years. But yeah, certainly lots of opportunity.
Yeah, I think that that's great to point out that you have been using AI, that you have found use cases, but of course, new use cases are surfacing. Of course, with generative AI, it adds another element to the mix and all of that experimentation and exploration as well. Maybe we could talk through one specific launch that your team has worked on, which is the Digital Butler. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the Digital Butler, how that rollout has gone and how it works.
Yeah, that's my other favourite topic, Whitney. So we're really proud of Digital Butler. We launched it in 2023 and we've been iterating it every quarter since then. It's now won a number of industry awards and just this week we got a patent approved. So what is it? It's a one-stop shop for clients. You know, we changed our engagement model here for commercial clients a good number of years ago, back in 2017. And what we did is it was a human-led innovation where we put a dedicated concierge agent aligned with every single commercial client, agnostic to product, right? And that drove a high degree of personalization. So as soon as you became a client, what would happen, you would be given your dedicated person who you would call that would navigate across all the products, anything that you needed. And that went down really well, as you can imagine. Right. You suddenly had a very friendly face, a very friendly person at the end of the phone that you trusted and built that trust with. And it brought a high degree of transparency. So the Digital Butler was us sitting back and saying, OK, well, we do recognize that people want to self-serve now, commercial clients included, not just retail clients. And we want to give them that option. But it has to be personalized and it has to bring that transparency, or what are we doing here? It's another option to complement the human-led innovations that we've done. So that's what Digital Butler is. It's a one-stop shop. If I'm a commercial client, I can come on to Digital Butler. It knows who you are. So we can tailor the content based on the products that they have with us, offer them advice based on the products that they have with us, and give them transparency around where they may have an open customer service case with us. Where is it? Who's it with? When's it likely? Like kind of pizza tracker idea. In addition to that, you know, we're iterating every single quarter with new technology. And then the short term, we'll have scheduling capabilities, client notification centers. And then in the more long run, you've already asked the question about Gen AI, but that's absolutely kind of medium to long term connectivity into our Digital Butler. So that's what it is. Clients, really enjoying it so far. We have about 700 clients choosing to use it instead of calling their dedicated representative on a monthly basis. And we have about 30,000 clients using the gateway for information every single week. So we're incredibly thrilled by it.
Great. Maybe a couple of things to break down there. So one thing that you mentioned that I wanted to touch on is this patent that you are this week granted a patent. What's that about?
Yeah, well, we had a provisional patent for the last year, but it just got granted this year fully. Now, why is there a patent on this, right? There's other banks that do digital offerings to their clients. What's different about Butler is the high degree of personalization. So, you know, from a retail perspective, there's less complexity. You know, Whitney McDonald comes into her bank, they know who she is, they know what products you have, etc. But when you think about the personas involved in a commercial client, there could be 100, 150 employees of that client that all have different authorities, different informational needs. So there's a high degree of personalization that comes with that complexity. And it's around bringing it from a servicing perspective. A lot of the digital channels are about onboarding. They're not about a one-stop shop, including onboarding and servicing. So yeah.
Great. The other thing I'd like to spend a little bit of time on, and not much, but just because you mentioned it, these iterations of the Digital Butler quarterly, mm-hmm. What are those based off of? What are you kind of tweaking and updating? Is that based on usership or what are those needs that are kind of changing along with the tech?
Well, there's two things. So I don't think innovation ever has an end date, right? You will constantly iterate. Everything you do, you're missing something, right? Our clients' needs change and you have to keep ahead of it. But the other reason that we're constantly investing in it in an iterative fashion is our methodology around driving change. So we deploy change in an agile fashion. So we go to market with a product that we think our clients will like, and then we'll continue to add functionality on it every single time. Every quarter that we get investment, we will add more functionality, depending on client needs, depending on what we hear from them in our surveys, etc. So, yeah.
I love that. Innovation never has an ending, right?
No, it doesn't. Never sleeps either.
Yes. So the next thing I'd like to discuss here, speaking of innovation, is what other innovations your team is working on. Are there any other retail technologies or retail innovations that you're able to plug into the commercial side without reinventing the wheel, being able to tap into technology that exists? What does that conversation look like with your team?
Yeah, so our organization's large. But we also are very good at making sure that we don't reinvent the wheel as well. Where there's technologies, we'll make sure that the consumer bank, along with the business bank and the commercial banker, are maximizing the software that we've got in-house or the stuff that we're building. One of the interesting things that is an inflection point for innovation here at Citizens will be our newly developing private bank. So if you think about that, there's a huge crossover between the retail side of the house and the commercial side of the house, because our high net worth clients in the private bank may want some commercial products, whereas, you know, in consumer before, that might not be a typical behavioral trait for some of our retail clients. So what does that mean? It means that we're really looking at the infrastructure that sits behind the technology so that the experiences are, you know, it's standardized. It feels like if I'm a client and I'm in a private bank, then depending on a retail product or a commercial product, then it looks and feels like the level of sophistication that you'd expect from Citizens Bank. So there's a lot of work going on at the moment to make sure that we have those very cohesive and expert digital experiences for our clients. So that's very interesting. But one of the things that we've just launched in the business bank is Cashflow Essentials, which is essentially a digital platform that allows our small business clients to engage with us on a self-serve basis. And for all your basic treasury solutions products that you might need, cash, wire, ACH, etc., onboard you in a very simplified fashion. And in the back end, we've automated a lot of it with more plans to make that onboarding as instant as possible. So there's some really exciting stuff happening across the entire enterprise.
Speaking of all that exciting stuff, maybe we can shift a little bit more to this forward look. We're coming into March 2024, and we're getting through the first quarter. But what is your team really working on? What's in the pipeline for the rest of the year, and what's your focus on, or what are you excited about?
Yeah, excited about the whole thing, actually. So we're only in February still. And I feel like the delivery that we've been doing in the first 2 months has been incredible. We've been dropping code almost every week. And we're constantly surveying that landscape. So I may have an agenda set for 2024. And in fact, 25, 26 and 27. It's never, ever done in a sandbox. I know the building blocks that we need to do as an organisation and where we need to be placing those investment dollars. But we're constantly looking out into the market to understand what needs refresh, reprioritise, should expectations change, should access to technology change, right? There could be another step change. We've just talked about ChatGPT, but there could be something else that comes along and we would want to be able to pivot quite quickly. But, you know, as it stands, without all the rest of that changing, we're excited about a new payment hub that we'll be deploying about halfway through this year. We are exploring connecting to our clients' ERP systems directly. And, you know, use cases for Gen AI. And in addition to that, a huge part of what I'll be doing in the commercial bank is connectivity around data. So we have a significant API agenda, which is really about where we store our data, how we connect it, how we move it, and where we move it to. And I think that is going to pay huge amount of dividends from a client experience perspective in terms of speed and accuracy, as well as freeing up some efficiency in our operations so that we can recycle and reinvest that back into the relationship piece. So much going on, Whitney. Yeah.
It sounds like you'll be quite busy looking forward.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, anything that we didn't hit on? I know that we talked future look, we talked Gen AI, we talked innovation, but anything that we didn't hit on that you're focusing on or excited about, or did we hit it all?
I think we had it all. If we're talking about the buzz today, bank automation, then I think we had it all. I think it's a topic that we could talk about for hours, to be honest. I'm really excited about 2024. I think that our agenda for digital has been going for 5 years now, and we've seen a lot of improvements that our clients are thrilled about. I mean, our customer survey results in terms of net promoter score is at an all-time high. It's at 73, which is world leading. Our response times have went up. So I think for us, we went from like 90% resolution in same day to 93%. And with all the technologies that we've just talked about, that is only going to get faster, cheaper and better. So yeah, incredibly buoyant and positive about what 2024 will bring for our clients and for Citizens Bank.
You've been listening to The Buzz, a bank automation news podcast. Please follow us on LinkedIn, and as a reminder, you can rate this podcast on your platform of choice. Thank you for your time, and be sure to visit us at bankautomationnews.com for more automation news.